heart beats faster and faster.
And ghost, but I'm afraid of them. Mark Twain, everybody, this is the Ghost Planet Demon Hunter Show.
Oh, that's right, paranormal broadcasting, where we ask you to turn down the lights, sit back, and hey, get your hands off of her. It's time for our show.
Or put your hands on her. Hey, gang, we are back live in studio, and we'll be in the GD chat room all night long.
Oh, the Ghost Minute. Oh, wait, you can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
That's right, brother, and this is the Ghost Man, Sean B.
That would make me, from the last time I looked in the mirror, Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
And this is the March 15th broadcast of our little show.
Here we go. Now I get to do it. You ready?
It is.
The Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Sean Burris and is broadcast live on Omnisound, KarmaCast, Absurd Radio, and the Planet Paranormal Network, and is recorded for the Black Vault Radio Network and Para-X Radio.
Everywhere you want to be! Anyway, guys, tonight's guest, Sid Schultz, director of the Pasadena Paranormal Research Society. We're going to be talking equipment, research, and experiences tonight only on the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
And do you know why, Sean?
Why?
Because the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show is beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Original Bad Boys of Paranormal, and your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yeah! You sound asleep, huh? You sound asleep in the office. Well, we are here, everybody, and thanks once again for joining us on what's sure to be another great episode of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. Hello, hello!
Your positivity is absolutely positive, Sean.
That's right. You got to be positive. It's a sunny night. It's been a long weekend. Actually, it's been a short weekend. It's ready to get back to the work week. We got to get our paranormal on, man. We got to get it out right now. This is the time to do it, guys. Strip down naked. If you're sitting at home, strip down naked. Drink your beer. Drink your booze. Whatever. Run through the house naked. Let everybody know it's still the weekend.
And on that note...
The comments of Sean Burris do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
I just don't want to get sued by all those people who are living with like their 80-year-old grandparents and they have heart attacks after they see them run around naked, Sean.
Right. Well, you know what? It's an interesting thing about the weekend. You only get 2 days off a week. You work most of Americans anyway. You work Monday through Friday. And this time Sunday night, people start getting into that mind frame of going back to work. Now, you got to remember, guys, it's all in the mindset. You are still on your weekend right now. Even after the midnight hour, you're still on your weekend. Not until you go to bed and actually wake up are you in the work mode. So you got to treasure every last second, Demon Hunter. You got to treasure it. Treasure it. You got to hold on to it. Keeps us young, man. Keeps us young.
I'm treasuring it right now as we speak, Sean. I'm treasuring.
How are you treasuring right now? How are you doing it?
It's amazing. I am just... putting myself in a chest and burying myself in the sand, and leaving an X to mark the spot. I'm treasurer.
But hey, man, this is our special Friday the 13th broadcast since we weren't on Friday, guys. This last past Friday.
Knowing all the problems we have with our technology here, Sean, can you really wonder why we would not be on live on Friday the 13th? I mean, really? I mean, come on. Why would we do that to ourselves?
I know. I definitely don't think we'd be able to broadcast on a Friday the 13th. But in fact, Demon Hunter, this was the second Friday the 13th of 2009. It's the part of three. It's going to be three Friday the 13th this year, bro.
And the third one gets me. I mean, I can understand the last two, since any time you get a Friday the 13th in February, you're going, unless it's a leap year, you're going to get one in March.
Okay.
Because unless it's a leap year, well, even if it is a leap year.
Way too much thinking. Way too much thinking in it.
No, if there's 28, if it's a leap year, you don't get it. But there's 28 days in the month of February.
Yeah,
and what you get in that month, you get in March. Maybe you get it in leap year. I'd have to look at my calendar and do my math.
I can't remember what the last year was that we had three Friday the 13ths in store for us.
I don't.
We've already survived two.
You know what really gets me is whenever you watch a Friday the 13th movie,
mm-hmm.
it's always Friday the 13th, and there is always a full moon.
That's true.
And I don't remember a full moon on the Friday the 13th since I was a little kid.
Really?
And when I was actually in grade school, a Friday the 13th came along that had a full moon, and our teacher pointed out that it would be decades until we had another Friday the 13th on a full moon. And I don't remember another one since then.
Well, you know, it's interesting, man, because a lot of us talk about, you hear Friday 13th, and some of us think of Jason, Friday 13th, the movies, and a lot of us think of black cats walking under ladders, bad luck in general. So, you know, a lot of people, they talk about the origin of Friday 13th, stuff like that. But I wanted to start out tonight in saying one in five Americans, Demon Hunter, believe in Friday the 13th. They believe in bad mojo on Friday the 13th. One in five, Demon Hunter, one in five. This is an educated community, educated America.
I believe in bad mojo pretty much any day I wake up.
Well, if you don't wake up, that's off to a heck of a bad start. You know? So, you know, what are you going to do? But it's funny because Friday 13th, and I'm going to talk about this later in the show, guys. I got some quick facts, some cool facts about Friday 13th. But I wanted to say this week, we got a new haunted location. You know, we're always talking about most haunteds. You see them on TV. They talk about, you know, I know one of my favorites, Haunted History, Demon Hunter. I love Haunted History. I was watching Haunted History Savannah, Georgia, last night, Friday night. I loved it so much I watched it both nights. But one of the new most haunted places in America, Lewiston, Idaho.
Okay.
Lewiston, Idaho. Lewiston's main street is believed to be haunted by six to seven different ghosts, guys. And the shop owners out there, they're wreaking havoc on the shop owners. It says it's haunted by a lady in blue. That's the number one biggest one. She's been witnessed by people from the past 30 years, she's been witnessed, just now becoming known, really, to the American public. Shop owners hear music, lights on and off, and strange apparitions appearing at all hours of the day and night. Not just at nighttime, but all hours of the day and night. They also have a haunted alleyway that's supposedly haunted by another apparition, and many, many more out there, guys. So right smack dab in the heartland, Lewiston, Idaho, Lewiston, Lewiston, Idaho. That is one of that. I don't know what number that would be of America's most haunted places. But if you guys want to get away for a weekend, there you go, Lewiston, Idaho.
And you know, you got to wonder, it says it's wreaking havoc on the shop owners. Are they setting off the alarms in the middle of the night? Are they trying?
I think they are.
Are they going to the dress shops and trying on things and leaving them on the floor, not hanging them up when they're done?
I think this whole story came up because it's just boiled to a head. There's too much paranormal activity up and down Main Street in Lewiston, and everybody's going crazy. They want to know what's going on, so it made it one of America's most haunted locations now. So we got another one.
Okay.
That we have to save up there. But you want to talk about it, Demon Hunter? What do you want to talk about, your weekend, or do you want to go right into the week's...
I want to go right into this week's paranormal tip of the week, and that is because it's not from us, Sean.
It's not.
It's not from us. It is from one of our listeners.
I'll be darned. Somebody wrote in.
Somebody actually wrote in to our website at ghostanddemon.com. That's two D's.
Yep.
A-N-D-demon.com. And gave us a tip of the week.
Oh, boy.
That is from Gene. And Gene...
Lafferty.
has... well, I don't think so. Is it Lafferty? Yeah. Oh, it is Lafferty. Look at that.
Yeah.
I'm reading here going, no, you're... Oh, right, you're right. It's
earning my paycheck once again.
Gene Lafferty has a recommendation for using EMF meters.
Okay. All
right. Not that Gene is putting stock in the EMF field business, but he wants to... talks about how his meter ignores 60 hertz U.S. and 50 hertz European on the power grid. So that's another way to start being able to weed out what is paranormal and what is not, because obviously if something shows up 60 hertz Americans, 50 hertz European, it's not right. The power grid, because the EMF meter purposely ignores those.
All
right. Another advantage to this is the display ID on the back of the lid. Another advantage to this is that it states it on the display information on the back of the lid. I have a website that I should be able to put up on the web, our website this week, depending on if it ever shows up for me. That's why I'm having trouble here, because it's not opening the website. But,
It's all right, Demon Hunter. Roll with it, baby. Roll with it.
But, you know, that's interesting, because you know me and EMF meter, Sean. I don't like them.
That's right. No, you don't like them.
I especially don't like the K2 meter that you see used on all the shows. I might use one in investigating if one was handed to me to try it out.
Right.
But it just seems to pick up everything. You know, and
it does. Dr. Gauze, point and click meter. Yeah.
How can you weed anything out if they pick up everything?
I know.
I personally don't own one myself. I want to pick up a natural EMF meter. In which case, then you have to remember that you can't walk around with it.
Right.
You have to set it in one place. It's kind of like the obelisk that we've been talking about. If you around with an obelisk and it picks up EMF frequencies, it never knows what frequencies it's picking up. So in order to weed stuff out, you have to leave it in one place. Well, with a natural meter, you have to leave it in one place so that it doesn't pick up readings when it comes to magnetic fields from the Earth's magnetic fields. It has to weed those out, so you have to set it in one place. So good tip, you know, use the 60 hertz U.S. and the 50 hertz European to help weed stuff out here in the... using an EMF meter, and with natural meters, leave it in one place so that it doesn't pick up the magnetic fields. I actually had one person tell me once that they've been using their natural EMF meter for so long that they knew how to weed out the magnetic field readings.
Get out of here!
And I'm sitting there going, how can you read something out that's flashing on your screen constantly?
Yeah, you gotta be kidding me, man. That stuff's all around you, it picks it up. Like Demon Hunter mentioned before, you gotta leave something stationary. Especially EMF meters, guys. You got to leave them sit stationary. Let them get used to the atmosphere, used to what's going on. That way you know if something is normal or abnormal when it starts going off.
If you're
going
to use an EMF meter, a K2 meter, a natural meter, whatever you're going to use, best thing to do if you're setting a camera up in a room and walking away, leave the EMF meter set up in the middle of the room where it's not picking anything up. That way if it does, you know you got something.
Yeah, and don't walk right into the room, and as soon as it picks you up, go, oh, I got something, because you just caught yourself, folks. You know, come on. We all produce EMF levels. Everything does, and, that's what gets me. A lot of EMF meters, especially the naturals, they'll leave them set, and somebody walk in the room and go, oh, fine.
Isn't the normal reading for a person between 0.25 and 0.85?
That I don't know. That's going scientific on me.
I believe that's about what it is. Of course, my meters, your typical EMF meter should not pick you up.
Right.
One, your EMF field is very low. Two, you're not a power source. So.
But you know, the natural meters, Demon Hunter, they pick up stuff from space. I mean, they're pretty sharp.
They pick up thunderstorms on the other side of like your state. So you've got to even if they start going off and you don't know why. You have to allow, unless you're going to be inside like a Faraday cage. I'm saying Faraday. Faraday cage. That's it.
Faraday.
Yeah, and then you've got to keep a really close eye on it anyway, because what if it's What if it's a thunderstorm that you don't see the storm outside, but it's still picking it up?
You know what? That the cage whole idea, that we're going to invent that. We're going to invent like a shark cage for the paranormal. It's going to be a paranormal cage. And what we're going to do is put you inside the cage with a little poke staff, a little EMF poke staff, and we're going to plunge you into the haunted location and see what happens, guys. That way you'll be behind the safety of a paranormal cage, and you'll be able to get readings and stuff. You'll be inside this cage. What do you think, Demon Hunter? I think it works, right?
Considering my fear of sharks, Sean, I would be happy to get inside a shark cage.
See, so, yeah, absolutely. We'll dip you into a haunted location, and you can pick up all the stuff. But I think it's a good idea. Yeah,
do you ever see those guys sitting in the shark cages when the on like Animal Planet or whatever, and there's the sharks are swimming up, and they're holding on to the cage? And I'm sitting there thinking, no, 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 not even my knuckles are leaving the outside of that cage. It's not going to happen.
You got a 2-ton shark outside the cage and their hands are dangling outside of it? No, I'm not doing it, man. I'm not doing it. Because you will be the ghost up next. But anyway, Demon Hunter, it was Friday the 13th. We all survived, knock wood, and throw some salt over my shoulder. Hopefully everybody, all our listeners, survived around the world so they could be here to listen to another great show. But I got some quick facts about it. It talks about this week's Friday the 13th is one of the three for 2009. So this was the second one. I believe we have one more in store. I don't know what month that's coming in, but I guess we can do the math on that later. They said, does anybody, Demon Hunter, really know where Friday the 13th and the fear of Friday the 13th comes from? I mean, does anybody
really know? I do not know, Sean.
Well, it says it may date back.
I actually do know, but I'm not going to tell them. Oh, wait, I was on mute.
Hey, no coaching, man. But it says it may date back to biblical times, Demon Hunter, from the 13th guest at the Last Supper, which was, of course, the betrayer of Jesus. It was Judas, the 13th guest of the supper. And they believed that that could have something to do with the Friday 13th. One of the quick ones here that I have for you, strange facts about Friday 13th. Most hospitals don't have a room 13. Have you ever noticed that?
Well, I told you when I was in the hotel last week, I was in a room that was 15 that should have been 13. Yeah.
See? Yeah, most hospitals don't have. It says most tall buildings skip the 13th floor, and some airline terminals don't even have a gate 13.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, quick facts about that.
I remember when I was a kid, I was on the only number 13 bus. And I think it's because it was so short, they didn't mind that it was a 13 bus.
It was shorter than a Twinkie, huh?
It pretty much looked like a Twinkie, yeah.
What are you going to do, man? And number two quick fact, President Franklin D. Roosevelt would not travel on the 13th day of any month, Demon Hunter, and would never have 13 guests at a meal.
Meal, yes.
Yeah, what'd I say? I said meal. Meal.
Thank you.
It says both Napoleon and President Hoover suffered from the, now bear with me, Triskaidphobia, which is the abnormal fear of the number 13. Both Napoleon and President Hoover. Guys, you will hear that on no other radio show ever. We just told you that. That's useless information that you're going to... You never know, man. Jeopardy could come on and ask you this question. That's Napoleon and President Hoover suffered from caidophobia, which is the abnormal fear of the number 13. It says one most likely reason for the weirdness for the number 13, that all of us feel weird about it, is the way we look at its position after 12. Everything, you got 12 months in a year, 12 days to Christmas, 12 eggs in a dozen, and so on and so forth there. That's why we kind of look at 13 as kind of out of the ordinary there. That's so we set precedent on that. What do you think? What do you think, Demon Hunter?
I think that it's what?
Triskaidphobia.
I think the K, I don't think you have to be so hard on the K there, Sean.
Okay, not so hard on the K, but special thanks to
Tristophobia.
Special thanks to Maker's Mark Whiskey and Coors Light Beer tonight for our little show.
You know, what? Since you said that, let me cut off the tip of my Tarano cigar that I picked up.
No, don't cut the tip off.
Snip the tip off of. I often wondered if that's where they got the idea, Sean, for these cigar cutters. But
I think it is. You know, I went to see my son, my oldest son, Devin. I went to see him circumcised. And when, you know,
did
he came
out,
everybody was all excited. And I wanted to, that's something that's an image no father should ever have to see because it's terrible. They got like this little thimble that has these little teeth inside it. And they just put it on and twist it. Then they alcohol swab. Oh, man, it's terrible.
Do you mean
it's
that's
terrible.
What that's for? My ex-wife used to use that on me all the time and said it was for foreplay.
Right. Well, she was trying to circumcise you. So over and over again till there was nothing left. But wow.
All right.
If that would have happened on Friday the 13th, that would have been something.
It may have. I think every day I was married was Friday the 13th. But I'm lighting up my Tarano cigar here. That I got a Butthead's Tobacco Emporium.
Buttheads.
Buttheads in Danbury, Connecticut. And hey, you know, I also wanted to remind you that tomorrow, I will be going to see a previous guest of ours, our guest last week, Stacey Horn.
Well, I'll be darned.
As she reads from her new book, Unbelievable, at R.J. Julia Booksellers in Madison, Connecticut. So, you know, you want to catch Stacey Horn or the Ghost Man, just head on out to see Stacey Horn and her book, Unbelievable, at J.R. Book, what is it? J.R. Booksellers in Madison, Connecticut. Now, that depends.
Actually, the Demon Hunter, because the Ghost Man will be at work, guys.
thanks to Maker's Mark.
Yes, thank you, Maker's Mark. Make your mark on society. Maker's Mark Whiskey. Thank you. Kentucky. I love Kentucky.
For those of you who didn't hear last week, I lost both my uncle and my sister in the last week, so I've been driving back and forth to funerals all week, so I've been sleeping away most of this weekend trying to catch up on sleep, so my apologies.
Absolutely. His apologies, and our thoughts are with you, Demon Hunter. That's a tough time, man.
But it doesn't stop me from doing the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, because nothing stops the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
I think it shows good poise, man. You come on the show, we all got stuff in our life, our listeners around the world. Everything's going on, and we all seem to tune in week after week, guys, and talk and chat and get it out. And this is what makes America great. This is what makes Paranormal America great, is that every week we can meet and talk and listen and
I have been sent a lot of warm wishes and thanks to everybody who sent them out there, and I do appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We've got some good listeners. Got some great listeners. But we got a story, Demon Hunter. Thanks to MSNBC, cow abducted by UFO. Are you ready for this? This is some knowledge I'm going to hit you with. You ready?
I am ready.
Okay, it says a rancher, Mike Duran, in Los Animas County, Colorado, made a shocking and gruesome discovery over the weekend. He found a mutilated cow by the Purgatory River. Duran's cow was found dead with her udders and reproductive organs missing. No tracks or blood were found at the site. Duran has seen weird lights in the sky around his ranch and believes aliens came down, took the cow, cut it up, and dropped it back to Earth. He says since the 1960s, many similar cattle mutilations have taken place in the area. He also stated he has left the cow where he found it and no predators have come to feast. So he believes this is a UFO mutilation. They're coming for our cows, our livestock, folks. So we might have a shortage in hamburger. I don't know.
And if you're one of these folks who likes to travel all over and visit every cow mutilation you can, then this is the place for you.
Los Animos, Colorado, guys. Los Animos, Colorado. This kind of sounds like animal. Animos. But I got that right. But anyway, we got another one, Demon Hunter. I don't even know if you're ready for this. I really don't. This is going to break the paranormal community. This is going to put them on their ear.
Okay.
Because you know how we talk about vampires. And you know we've all watched different things of how vampires were beheaded. Stakes through the heart, guys. Back in the old time, it was the Black Plague that killed a lot of these people, stuff like that. But it says archaeologists uncover a Venetian vampire. Okay. Archaeologists working in Venice have uncovered what may well be the first known example of a European vampire demon hunter. And listeners, you get this? The woman buried with a brick lodged in her mouth was the victim of a late 16th century plague outbreak. Until recently, we didn't know how the disease was spread. As a result, medieval Europeans cast about for any explanation that made sense, and one of them involved vampires. At the time the woman died, many people believed that the plague was spread by vampires, which, rather than drinking people's blood, spread disease by chewing on their shrouds after dying. Gravediggers put bricks in the mouths of suspected vampires to stop them from doing this. The belief in vampires probably arose because blood is sometimes expelled from the mouth of the dead, causing the shroud to sink inwards and tear. Barini, who presented his findings at a meeting of the American Academy of Forensic Science in Denver, Colorado last week, claims this might be the first such vampire to have been forensically examined. The skeleton was removed from a mass grave of victims of the Venetian plague of 1576, guys. And you can read all about this at ParanormalAbout.com, where I got this story. But this is late-breaking stuff, Demon Hunter. This is like one of the first vampires that they found with a brick lodged in her mouth. Now, we've heard a lot of different...
I find this interesting because I used to have a girlfriend, and I told her that if she ever wanted me to marry her, she was going to have to hit me with a brick first. So one morning I woke up with a brick in my mouth. I assumed she was proposing. Now I know the truth. She thought I was a vampire.
Well, see, that's what's so interesting about this stuff. They're all across America, all across the world. There's different ways of dealing with different things. It's the same background. It's the same vampire. Here in America, they burnt vampires at the stake. Of course, when they were dead, they cut their heads off, drove a stake through their heart. And now in Venetia.
Venetia. Oh, my goodness. Venetians, Sean. Like the blinds.
Kentucky bourbon, thank you. But in Venice, they're actually finding people with these slabs of bricks like stuck in their throat through their mouth. And this is how they thought they would contain vampires, that they could not bite because the brick was in their mouth. So I thought that was really interesting, man.
Now the question is, Sean, were they really vampires?
I seriously doubt it. I think they were suffering from the plague or whatever. Who knows? Who am I to say? You go to New Orleans today, you can meet 5,000 people that say they're vampires. So who knows?
You know, Sean, it's funny. We are both friends with Kalila Smith
from
New Orleans. And I am holding her first book, The Haunted History Tour's Journey into Darkness. very close to my heart. Mm-hmm. But... underneath it, it says, by Catherine Smith.
Yes.
So we now know her real name is Catherine Smith.
True, but I think her name that she would like to go by is Kalila. I'm not sure.
Okay. I've been telling people to look for her last book by Kalila Smith. So you want to look for Journey into Darkness by Catherine Smith.
Right. Absolutely. So.
But
and that's a good one.
It is a good book. I enjoy that book. I got a lot of neat tips out of that book. A
lot of cool stuff from New Orleans, man. I'm telling you.
So you had one other story before we go to break here. We've got 1 minute.
That's absolutely right, little brother. We all know, Demon Hunter, that you and I are Civil War fans, that the whole show started around the battlefield of Gettysburg when we were out there. We came up with the idea for the G&D show. And this one came through, guys. This week, museum reveals engraving hidden in Lincoln's watch. President Lincoln's watch, guys. This comes out of Washington. For nearly 150 years, a story has circulated about a hidden Civil War message engraved inside Abraham Lincoln's pocket watch. On Tuesday, museum curators confirmed it was true. A watchmaker used tiny tools to carefully pry open the antique watch at the National Museum of American History, and the descendant of the engraver read out loud the message from a metal plate underneath the watch face. Jonathan Dillon, April 13th, 1861. Part of the inscription reads, Fort Sumter was attacked by the rebels on the above date. Another part reads, Thank God we have a government. The words were etched in tiny cursive handwriting and filled the space between tiny screws and gears that jutted through the metal plate. A magnifying glass was required to read them. But Jonathan Dillon, then a watchmaker on Pennsylvania Avenue, had Lincoln's watch in his hands. When he heard the first shots of the Civil War, He had been fired in South Carolina. The Irish immigrant later recalled being the only union sympathizer working at the shop in a divided Washington at the time, guys. So there you go. They got the pocket watch of Abe Lincoln, and it had a special message engraved inside of it.
Yes, it did. And on that note, my friend, my brother, what do you yes. say we take a quick break? When we come back, we will, from listening to tonight's news, we will have tonight's guest.
Tonight's guest, Sid Schultz, director of the Pasadena Paranormal Research Society.
All right, we will be right back after these brief messages and some news from Haunted Headlines, Christopher Balzano, and GhostVillage.com.
Stay tuned to Botchery up next.
Hey, this is Nathan S. of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. When we needed a logo that would tell people what we were all about but was different from anything else out there, we went right to Loki Graphics at LokiGraphicsInc.com. We love the artwork that owner and illustrator Jonathan Sullivan came up with so much, we ordered our t-shirts and banners from Loki Graphics right away. They provided us with high-quality graphic art, screen printing, and helped us pick out the best value for our t-shirts and other products that fit our budget. LokiGraphicsInc.com is the official graphic designer and screen printer for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Phone, email, and postal orders are all accepted, with contact information available on their website. Shipping is available for any order, or if you're local, you can stop by the shop and pick up your finished product. Check out Loki Graphics at LokiGraphicsInc.com and tell them the Ghostman and Demon Hunter sent you.
The vault is open. You're listening to the Haunted Headlines, your source for the stories making waves in the paranormal news. Sponsored by GhostVillage.com at www.ghostvillage.com/news.
Good evening and welcome to the Haunted Headlines, Ghost Village's weekly journey around the paranormal newswire to bring you the biggest stories affecting the ghost community. I'm Chris Balzano. Crime again makes an appearance in the Haunted Headlines this week. After our report a few weeks ago about a man who claimed demons were telling him to commit suicide, a man in Niagara claims ghosts made him burn down his house. The Buffalo News reported this week that Brad Fisher, 34, set his mobile home on fire, burning it beyond use. He was held on $75,000 cash or $150,000 bond after being charged with third-degree arson. But the judge also called for a mental health evaluation because the man told Sergeant Christopher Solori he set his couch on fire because, quote, ghosts and demons were harassing him. While ghosts may be causing crime, some people who look for it in Texas are fighting it. The El Paso Times this week reported some vandals had attacked Concordia Cemetery in central El Paso. In addition to graffiti, whomever damaged the area also took 8 concrete benches and destroyed 3 others. The cemetery has long been a target for both vandals and cults who have used a historic location for supposed ceremonies, leaving altars and animal parts behind. Members of the Concordia Heritage Association, led by Association Vice President Henry Flores, will lead paranormal investigations from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on March 20th to help raise money that will go to fixing the damages. The cost is $10, and anyone in the El Paso area is encouraged to go to the association at 915-842-8200. That's 915-842-8200. And out of England, you are invited to participate in a nationwide debunking exercise. Psychologist Professor Richard Wiseman from the University of Herefordshire is posting images of suspected ghosts and asking people from around the world to determine which are real. According to Wiseman, speaking with The Telegraph, the evaluation is an attempt to connect with people who have had experiences, but also to see what filter they view the paranormal from. His assumption is that people who can vote online for which is real will vote based on what their idea of a ghost is, not the quality of the picture or whether it might be a genuine spirit photo. The pictures can be viewed at http://scienceofghosts.wordpress.com. The results and a new survey of experiences will be revealed at the Edinburgh Science Festival next month. Thank you for listening to the Haunted Headlines. You can find out more about these stories and others by going to the Ghost Village news site at www.ghostvillage.com/news. Till next week, I'm Chris Balzano, and that's what's haunting me.
Do you want to dive into the bizarre world of the paranormal? Do ghosts, UFOs, or the supernatural amaze you to the point of wanting to learn more? Then you need BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. With more than 750 hours of on-demand talk radio, syndicated from more than 35 shows, the Black Vault Radio Network is your one-stop shop for the world of the unexplained. Check us out and tune in 24 hours a day, www.blackvaultradio.com. Again, that's www.blackvaultradio.com.
Okay, well, wait, just do what you do.
Hello, this is Christopher Saint, and you're listening to Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show, and we're the Booth Brothers with Children of the Grave. Yeah, stay tuned, they have a hot... Is that a radio show? Who was that again? Yeah, okay. Stay tuned and listen to Ghost Man and Demon Hunter. They rock.
Well, Ghost Man and Demon Man. Whatever.
Ghost Man and Demon Man, yeah. Thanks, guys. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa,
whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa.
Hey, I didn't get to read that story real quick, Demon Hunter. I guess I'm going to have to save it for next week, but I just want to say to everybody... There's a new company that turns dead bodies into diamonds. I'm going to read you that story next week. I want you to be on pins and needles until I can get that story out to you guys.
I'm pinning and needling right now, Sean.
But see, I knew you were. I knew it.
Right now, we have Sid on the line. In the
Sid, show us everybody!
Sid!
Hey, guys, I was running around naked with a beer in my hand until you started talking about circuses, and then I had to put my hands on.
See, that's why we have the disclaimer. Your 85-year-old grandmother doesn't live in the house with you, right?
No, 91 father-in-law.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Okay. So he's not gonna drop of a heart attack seeing you run around naked, right?
No, thank God.
Okay.
Hey, now listen, Sid. I've seen some videos on your website already. You guys are no strangers to running around naked. Dude. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I checked that out, though. I was on your website. You guys got some cool stuff going down, man.
We're doing all right. It's the website hasn't been updated in a year because our poor Delia, the website, her mom's sick, so she hasn't updated it. But, yeah, we're working on it.
Yeah, you guys are around like the plague. You're everywhere. You did Queen Mary. You've done countless investigations. What I wanted to ask you, first up tonight, I seen a little thing on your website. It says no orbs, and it has the camera lens with a cross. What does that mean?
Well, I think just most people just misinterpret the orbs. You know, it just deters it. Come look at this, look at this. Oh, you mean that flashlight reflection that you're getting? This? Yeah, okay.
Right.
People just don't know their equipment, that's all, and they just misinterpreted the photo.
Right.
99% of the photos we see, you know, are dust or lint or moisture, or don't, you know, taking pictures in snow.
Right.
So.
And I think that that's partially to blame is a lot of these ghost groups, because they're training the other guys that come into the group. Because I know when I started with the group, I thought when I got two good pairs of orbs side by side, I just got a lovely... female.
Sean's
goat,
always looking,
you know,
for two orbs side by side.
Yeah. I was all upset. I was happy. I was flustered. I thought it was Marilyn Monroe one time. But it was, and it was raining outside. So I see what you guys mean. But you know what? There's a thing going back, Sid, back and forth with these orbs. And even today, with as much as we know about orbs, dust, pollen, and water droplets, you still see orbs showing up everywhere. People are saying, look at the tail on this one, look how it's moving. What do you think about that? I mean, are they all fake, man, or is there something to some of them?
Well, it's just the new technology, and I think with the digital age, if I've never seen as many pictures. I like to use film. I stick a lot to film, and with the digital pictures, you take film, you take digital, and all these things are showing up on digital but not film. And it's just, I think this technology that's just bringing a new light to the stuff we can't see with our eyes. So So.
What about the cats that are bringing up orbs on regular film?
I'm sorry?
What about the cats that are taking pictures with regular film and capturing orbs? What do you think about those? You think it's still kind of, it's just rain droplets?
Most of the time you just have to check the atmosphere around you with it. Pretty plausible explanation.
Yeah.
I don't like explanations, Sid. They ruin my plans. How am I supposed to come out with the all-power photo that's going to prove the paranormal if people keep explaining them?
Well, I mean, that it's not that we're out to just debunk everything. Eventually, there's going to be some plausible explanation.
All right, we'll allow that.
Yeah. So what do you got going on, Sid? You got any cool investigations you can talk about going on right now?
Well, actually, I'm here talking to you guys when I should be under the Pasadena Bridge right now, hanging out with American Ghost Hunters and Paranormal State.
They're wrapping up
an investigation as we speak right down there at the Pasadena Bridge.
Paranormal
Inside
State.
Bridge is what we call it.
Now, are they filming at Paranormal State for, like, the TV show?
They're wrapping up an American Ghost Hunter event.
Oh, okay, American Ghost Hunter event. So,
let's get over here. Bridge has a lot. It's Suicide Bridge. There's been over 114 deaths at this bridge. So, a lot of activity. Recent one was just in January where a man killed his ex-girlfriend and his mother-in-law, and the police chased him to Colorado Bridge, and he committed suicide.
So he got all his problems settled in one night. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Obviously,
I'm kidding.
So.
I think
that's terrible.
I think with the current financial state this country is in, we're going to be hunting for a lot more ghosts very soon. It's
yeah.
I think so.
And
it's
a lot of that. It's a lot of them during the Depression jumped. So that bridge may be really busy here come pretty soon.
Yeah, now, Sid, I want to know, what does the Pasadena Paranormal Research Society have that a lot of other ghost groups don't out there right now? What kind of, I mean, I just, even if they're not different, what kind of techniques do you guys use? What kind of equipment, man? What's going down? What's shaking?
Well, we use a lot of the scientific gear. We use a lot of equipment. We call ourselves home inspectors, first of all. You know, we like to go in and set up equipment, and we'll talk to these folks, allow us to stay 3 or 4 days to collect atmospheric data just at their locations, instead of just walking in, getting base readings and doing an investigation off that. We like to get readings from the house 2 to 3 days old, so we know, you know, any kind of interference when we're actually going to try to go in and capture at the same time what these folks are experiencing. That way there's somewhat of a legitimacy to the readings that we're getting on the equipment. So we use one we call ATOM, which is Automated Data Acquisition Machine. It has atmospheric temperature, humidity, EMF, barometer, and collects the data in certain snapshots throughout the days. Every couple minutes, so we have something to compare it to. My favorite tool is basically setting up, I love the voice recorder. That's my favorite.
That's my favorite too, man. I love it. Nothing like EVP, instant gratification.
Yeah, we set up a lot of the tri-fields. We experiment with the K2s. I haven't seen much results with those except pretty lights flashing back and forth.
Yeah, yeah.
So, they pick up too much.
Yeah. Like you were saying earlier, they're just unshielded and they pick up way too much. But the natural EMF tri-field is also my favorite. We set up a perimeter with those, set them on magnetic, get the compass out, make sure they're facing north and south. And we've had some interesting results of that. As people try to use the K2, we have them try to use the tri-field to set it off.
Yeah, it seems to me that because you can pick up so much with the K2, people kind of lean towards that. And the K2 is becoming the orb of the EMF world.
You hit the nail right on the head with that. It is. To me, it's an unreliable piece. It's maybe a good one to carry around when you're trying to find, you know, a leakage, you know, EMF leakage in a home, and then back yourself up with some other EMF equipment.
I've talked to electricians who won't even use that one.
No. It doesn't give you accurate reading. It's just so sensitive. You're spiking, you know, you're spiking at 20, you'll bring a 200A out, and, you know, it may be 2.5. So.
Right.
So
now, what do you think? I gotta ask you guys, what is your favorite TV shows? We all gotta have them, right, Sid? We're into paranormal. You got something that catches your eye. I like The Haunted Histories. What's your favorite?
The Haunted Histories, it is good. That's a good show.
Yes.
Being that I'm a reserve investigator for the Taps guys, I have to throw that show out. I have to.
Yeah.
So I like that the guys in Ghost Hunters, you know, they do a pretty good job. You just don't see everything on TV, but it's a good show. And
well, you know what, the guys at Taps, they're taking a lot of heat, man. And the thing is, whenever you're on TV, and you know as well as I do in the paranormal community, there is some cutthroat stuff going on out here right now. There's a lot of jealousy, man. So kudos to the Taps guys. Everybody's trying to do their own thing. And I say live and let live, man. It's all trial and error, you know?
Oh, yeah, especially when I found out the folks that are editing it at Sci-Fi are not familiar with paranormal at all. So you got some guys sitting back there trying to edit this stuff as fast as they can just to make a story, and they're missing the good stuff, and they don't have, you know, it's not the guy's fault. So
now here's something I wanted to ask you about, because reading your bio, I saw how you guys also look into pest control.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have always listed it. Listen to me.
I got termites.
Thank you, Maker's Mark. But I've always had it listed on my paperwork as biological contaminants, and it just looks better if the owner of the house looks over my shoulder. So,
yeah.
But you
biological
know,
contaminants.
I remember going to Eastern State Penitentiary and walking down, I think it's cell block 12, where you have to get special permission to go down that cell block in the evening, and I started hearing the walking on the catwalks above me that Jason and Grant had heard when they were there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was time to leave. We were over our time to begin with. And I was like, you know what? I just got to go up there anyway. I convinced the guide to let me go up there. I couldn't find anybody. I was about to leave and heard it again and looked up and found pigeons walking around on the rebar above me. And the disappointment. But that was the day I added biological contaminants to my field work. So do you ever get people telling you they think they have ghosts and you show up and they have, like, rats in their walls?
Squirrels, raccoons, cat. The cat, unfortunately, one time, you know, the smell becomes overbearing when they lose a couple in their litter. So I've surrounded myself with the all purpose. It took me a while to get my team. I have a supervisor for a CSI here in Los Angeles. I have a licensed marriage and family therapist to help the families during the interview if we come to believe that that it's not paranormal, so they can deal with their situation, or if it is paranormal, how to go about dealing with it. To the pest control, to where they can go in. The poor guy, Gil, which is my co-founder, he will crawl in the tiniest spots for me. Attic and floor. Boy, he'll get down in there with a little camera so I can see it later and, you know, try to get through the smells that people smell. I smell this horrible smell. It's got to be, I got to say it, a demon.
Got to be demonic.
It's got to be demonic. You know, I'm hearing scratches in the wall. And so he will go in these places and, you know, literally put the specimens or samples in the bag and bring it up and say, hey, listen, you've got holes around your house. There, here's the sample. It looks like to me it could be rats or cats down there or whatever. So, and once they, you know, once they hear that, they pretty much, you know, understand that okay, it's man-made, unfortunately.
Right. Now I gotta say, Sid, it's funny as heck because everybody's saying the paranormal's on its way out. And it's saying it's hit a high. It's been on high for 10 years now. Now it's coming back down. People aren't as interested. And I just seen a poll this week for the movie coming out. We're talking about it in the chat room right now. A Haunting in Connecticut has sold out almost in so many different states. It's already sold out. People want to get in to see this movie. I think the paranormal, people want to know more. They're just on a craze. I think it's going upscale. What do you think?
I do too. I think I'm seeing more people become more spiritual, becoming connected to themselves, wanting to know about the afterlife. So it's definitely on a rise. I mean, the Indian culture, it's I have a friend of mine which lives the Red Road, which is American Indian culture. That's booming. They very much, the culture is bringing back the afterlife. So it's on
right.
the rise. It's not going away.
Now,
Sid, and I always, go ahead, Nate. I'm sorry.
I have a question for Sid. Sean and I get in trouble a lot with groups, but you get out there a lot and you hear the people that say, don't provoke, don't do this, don't say that, don't go in,
right.
don't go using that kind of equipment, don't do this stuff. And usually you hear it more from the spiritualist side than you hear from the technical side.
Right.
But sometimes you even hear it from the technical side. But Sean and I have been in this, between the two of us, we've got going on 30 years now of experience, and we grew up with all those rules too. And then one day we realized, who told us these rules? Who told us we couldn't do this, we could do this, we shouldn't do that, we should do this? And so now we do everything, and we get flack for it. So when you go in, do you have a specific set of rules that you're going to follow? I mean, I don't provoke if I go into a house with a little kid in it.
Right.
But, you know, a little kid, human or ghost. But on the other hand, too, if I need to get a result to prove the place one way or another, I'm liable to provoke. How about you?
Absolutely. If you walk into a house and you have a family there, obviously you don't want to provoke because, you know, you're putting the family in more fear. You walk into Penn State Penitentiary, are you going to treat those guys like you're talking to a child? No. You think they're going to respect you? No. You're going to have to speak their language. You're going to have to be tough with them. And it's provoking in that type of situations. You know, I believe in it. And the responses, you know, you're usually going to get a response when you're dealing with somebody like that from that's supposedly a prisoner from Penn State, you know, a rapist or a murderer.
Right.
You know, you go in talking nice. They don't want to talk to you.
They'd shank you if they had the chance.
Yeah. You go in with an attitude. They may be somebody that says, all right, that, you know, this guy may want to step toe-to-toe with you, and you may get some results.
Now, Sid, all the cases that you've been on, amongst all three of us, me, you, Demon Hunter, out of all the cases, when you hear these sweet little girl voices or little boy voices, you know, that say, hi, I'm looking for my mommy, whatever, what percentage of these voices do you think are actually those spirits of little ones that have moved on, or are they something else? Is there something else going on? They're just using these voices to kind of get us into the groove, man.
Now, that's a good question, because we've gotten quite a few Class A's with children, and but there was nothing there that led me to deceive, that they were deceiving me. Because, you know, they'll say one or two words and move on, but there's nothing been known to the client that's harming, or, you know, anything, you know, their life's falling apart or they're being scratched or injured or anything else. So most of what I believe would come across that are children, I think are probably children that I've run across. As far as what you guys, man, I'm not sure. But
I don't know, man. I played some EVP I got, brother, a little girl, and I played it for a crowd of people, and there was a couple Buddhists there, and there was some other Catholic religion and some Baptists there, and they were all listening to this EVP, and they were intrigued, and it was a little girl asking for her mommy, crying for mommy. And one of the Buddhist people told me, they said, hey, man, how do you know that's not a demon? And I had to tell him, Sid, I don't.
Yeah, you don't. That's the thing. But you have to analyze what's going on around what has been, you know, interfering with the folks' life, you know,
right.
what the situation is at the time.
Now,
and that's
going
to give you the answers.
Now, Sid, you said you're a TAPS family member. You're a backup for the TAPS group. And you were at an event with Paranormal State. How does that work? Is there a camaraderie between TAPS and Paranormal State?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're all after the same thing. We're all after prove that consciousness does exist after death. So it's all about helping people, too. So trying to lead them on the right path, giving them answers to what's going on in their home so they'll be able to sleep. So, yeah, it was rubbing elbows with them, you know, pretty cool.
Now, is there? I just wanted to ask before we go on, what made you go from paranormal enthusiast to an investigator?
Personal experience. definitely personal experience. 10 years ago, I was I work at Universal Studios. I can say that if you guys want to. I work at Universal Studios. I've been working there for 10 years. I am an ambassador and trainer for the company, GE NBC Universal. And 10 years ago, I was working on a little ride called Back to the Future.
I missed that ride.
Yeah. Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Yeah. It was a very slow day as I was learning the ride. A couple came in, and in order to get on the ride itself, they have to turn and go down a hallway, and I monitored them through a TV screen, a CCTV. Well, right after that, a little girl ran by. I said, whoa, hang on, somebody's coming down to join the couple. He's like, what? And I looked up, and the little girl went in. I said, never mind, she's already joined you. He came out and goes, what? I said, never mind, there are little girls in there already. And he goes, what little girl? I said, okay. So I waited for the ride over. The couple exited out, no little girl. Well, apparently I had this look of, like I just seen a ghost. And the guy goes, you saw her, didn't you? I go, saw who? And he goes, you don't know about her. I go, no, this is, I'm brand new. And he goes, last year, a little 9-year-old girl died of a pre-existing brain aneurysm on the ride. They didn't know she passed. And she got on the ride, and she passed from that. And we see her all the time. So that's got me. That's what got me into it is okay, how are we able to live on after we die? We're supposed to die. When we're dead, we're dead.
Right.
So that's what led me down the path of finding my own answers.
You know, I always tell everybody that I've been doing this now for a while, and I just think there's more to it than black and white. There's more to it than the Bible. There's more to it. It's not just cut and dry. There's a whole lot of stuff in the middle that we don't know about yet. What do you think?
Most definitely, and that's why I've been going more towards the American Indian culture, because they seem to connect and have a lot of those answers of why the loved ones are still here and come back and visit, why people are afraid to cross over.
But in most American Indian cultures, don't they believe that if the spirit comes back, there's a problem? Because the spirit isn't supposed to come back. You're not even supposed to mention the name of the dead.
That was the old way.
Ah.
That was the old ways. I'm learning a lot from my culture, which I'm Osage from Oklahoma, and a lot of folks I hang out with here are Chumash and so forth. Mm-hmm. I mean, they definitely had these big bear dances and Indian ceremonies to reach out to the loved ones to come back to help you, to heal you, specifically.
Because when I studied under an Indian shaman, as if you want to call him that, really? he specifically told me not to mention the dead's name.
Wow. Yeah, it might be different with some of the ones I've been dealing with have been very much, they honor and once you pass, you're expected to come back and help and, you know, kind of be their guardian through life.
You know, that's interesting, Sid, because I was raised very short time Irish Catholic, and then we switched to Baptist, the Baptist religion, which is very much, you know, hell and brimstone, cowboy boots on the wood floor. Yeah. And, you know, they talked about you shouldn't commune with the dead, stuff like that. But what I don't understand, not to get too biblical, but the Bible is one of the oldest documented cases we have of hauntings.
Yeah, it is.
Spirit activity.
Hauntings,
so
UFOs, yep.
Yeah, I don't know when the church got ahead of themselves and said, you know, you shouldn't be dealing with spirits. You know, if you see a ghost, it's a demon. I mean, it doesn't say anything like that in the Bible. What's your take on that, man? Where are they getting off saying this kind of stuff?
Well, I think a lot of it has to put the fear of God into you. God is supposed to be sacred. And when you pass over, they have a lot of secrets. You now have secrets. So speaking to the dead gets away those secrets. And from what I've learned from mediums is that the afterlife or God is who you want it to be. And if, you know, that belief got out, then you wouldn't have that fear of God to the Catholic Church and, you know, Christians, and you wouldn't get your money.
Now, do you
think... Right. I had to say that, but that's...
Do you think there's a... You always hear about some new group that's drinking, you know, poison punch or buying, you know, the same color sneakers or whatever and getting ready to ride the comet. and their leader always got a message from God.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that these people have, like, maybe seen spirits and misread the messages they got from them, or got bad messages or whatever? Or do you think they're just insane?
Well, from what my therapist Jason tells me is that people, when they get into it, they believe, truly, solely believe that there is a reason. And whatever it might be, you know, the comet comes through, they need to, you know, dance naked around the fire and sacrifice themselves for a new life, a new beginning. So it's when you believe in something, you go to all extent. And I think some of these people somewhere along the way, you know, end up getting brainwashed.
You had me at dance naked, then you lost me.
check your Kool-Aid, yeah.
So
that's it.
Check your Kool-Aid.
Words from Sid, check your Kool-Aid.
That's words to live by. That's going on my MySpace page this week. Check your Kool-Aid.
So, you know, Sid, you get out there, you work with people on the scientific level, you counsel them on an emotional level, you work with them on a spiritual level, you investigate on a scientific and a down to extermination level.
Yeah.
And, you know, what have your results been so far on what you've done?
Well, I've heard some pretty interesting things. When mediums have gathered around and they try to use a glass, several times we're not allowed to speak through the glass, like a Ouija board.
Right.
This actual EVP came out. And it's just, through some trying to contact them, especially some of the questions we get we do on our own here with ITC experiments. Does the afterlife really exist? Is there a God? And, you know, I believe that we're moving forward, and we're still trying to find those answers.
Now, Sid, you talk about ITC, brother. Now, I have went on investigations. This has been years ago, and I took the TV camera and the camera and tried to make an infinite loop. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that kind of stuff can help on investigation, or do you think, like the teachings of ITC, you have to build a spirit group, an understanding with the other side to get something to come through? Or do you think that could be helpful to us to use, like, on an investigation?
Still an experimental stage, but I think it's the operator. The operator has to be kind of like the technician on this side. Going through Frank Sumption's stuff, not so much the Frank's box, but he came up with something we're interested in and going to start looking into, which would be like a TV that scans randomly through the blank stations.
Okay.
So, and he supposedly has caught an interesting picture, and that's something that we're going to start doing. So,
you know, being very poor, on many, many times I've tried to watch TV on blank stations.
Yeah, I understand a lot of people come June are going to be staring at a blank station too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Obama's working on that.
Yeah.
That's okay. TV can go out. We'll just become more popular here on the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
There you go. There you go. Like you guys aren't already.
Yeah.
Oh, Sid, you just became one of our favorite guests.
Yeah, you're number one, baby.
You guys have a great show.
Thanks, Sid. We try. We try. We try to be a little bit different, man. You know, we try to bring it in. And remember to have fun when you're doing this kind of thing. And we've taken some heat for it, man. We've taken some heat, but we keep on rocking, baby.
When your slogan is ghosts, demons, beer, and cigars, people tend to look at you funny.
Yeah. Well, I'm right there with you.
You got to have something to
my cigar and beer.
You got to have something to calm the nerves, baby. We're not dead yet, you know what I mean?
That's it.
If we didn't enjoy these things, we'd be on the other side of the investigation.
Yeah, true.
Well, we were talking before we wrap up. We were talking before about provoking stuff like that. How do you think we're perceived on the other side?
Uneducated. You know, we're the ones seeking the answers. They're the ones who found them. They have the answer. So I think sometimes, you know, they tolerate us as much as they can, whatever the situation may be. suffering from afraid to cross over because they don't want to be judged. You know, that fear of God again. Oh, my God. You know, they realize, okay, I'm gone, but I go into the light. I have to be judged by God. So all the way down to what I call, the death syndrome, or post-traumatic death syndrome, or the death syndrome, what am I trying to say? People that have passed away not knowing they had passed away because it was such a traumatic accident.
Right.
Like, you know, those type of situations. So I think they're sitting there with the answers. Sometimes they may laugh at us, or it's, to perceive that they have the answers, and it's. I'm hoping one day that we'll be able to cross that line.
Now, I got to say, Sid, real quick, that every week I'm finding of a new place, number one hauntings, the top 10 in America, not the even the world. There's new places coming in. This week it was Lewiston, Idaho. There's the main street there is totally haunted. Now, I want to know, do you think the Mayan calendar, everything that's coming to a head right now, the religious people are in the streets saying, it's coming to an end, God's coming back, the Mayan calendar. Do you think there's something between the activity increase in paranormal activity and the end of times, or do you think it's just nothing?
I believe there's a connection with the activity that's increasing. People are becoming more spiritual, trying to find their answers. The Mayan calendar, from my understanding, some people may be misinterpreting. There will be a shift in energy.
Right.
There will be something traumatic that will happen, but maybe a new beginning, not so much as the end. So I think
which could be a new beginning of spiritual. It could be a new beginning of spiritual enlightenment.
But I thought we had to get the 13 crystal skulls.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Indiana Jones.
You never know.
Yeah.
People are looking for them hard. So.
Well, Sid, are you going to be heading back down to the conference and the Paranormal State and all those guys tonight, or?
Yep, I'm headed back down.
And besides, because obviously we can't send our listeners out to catch you right now, but what other places can people find you?
Well, we like to hang out with, the main one is Pasadena, the bridge. We love to hang out at that place. That place is unexplainable. On the bridge and below. Another place we like to hang out is the Queen Mary. It's one of our favorites. So, also, we hang out at the Downey District Cemetery during the day. That place is known for Santeria. Very highly active. Now, you're going to just come find us hanging out at the cemeteries. This one is specific because of the Santeria activity that's going on. We find headless goats, dead chickens, the road lined with money. A lot of spiritual activity going on in there.
Now, do you pick up that money, or do you just leave it where it lies?
Oh, no, you never pick it up. Never interfere with anybody's, offerings. Breaks the spell, and it might bounce back on you.
There it is.
All right, Sid. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you can catch Sid at PasadenaGhost.com. That's www.PasadenaGhost.com, PasadenaGhostHunters.com, correction on my part. And Sid, thank you so much for joining us tonight for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Hey guys, this was a blast. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we had a blast with you.
You guys are really easy to talk to, laid back. I like that. It just took the tension right off my shoulders from the beginning. Very nice.
Oh, well, if you were in the studio with us, we would have passed you a drink.
Sweet.
Well, thank you, Sid.
Thank you.
We'll let you get back to the conference.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Talk to you soon.
All right, brother. Take care.
You too. Bye, guys.
Bye. Oh, well, Sean.
What a great interview, man. What a great interview.
That was an awesome interview. And fortunately, we have listeners around the world that are going to catch that interview. And they can check out Sid, like I said, at PasadenaGhostHunters.com. They can check us out at www.GhostAndDemon.com. And Sean, it's time to thank all our listeners for joining us tonight for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
It is. Be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log into our forums because we really want to hear from you.
And don't forget, if you missed any part of this or any Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, you can find it at Planet Paranormal, Podomatic, Podcast Alley, iTunes, Mediafly, Podbean.com, the Blueberry Network, the Podcast Pickle Network, the Para X Radio Network, the Podfeed Community, and the Black Vault Radio Network. And join us next week when our guest will be, as soon as I can pull it up here on our...
It's not up yet, man.
With any luck, if all things go as planned, our guest next week will be Reverend Tim Shaw.
So, absolutely, guys. Hey, don't go changing, guys. We love you.
We'll catch you next week. Good night, everybody.
Night, night.
So say good night to the bad guy.
Yeah.